So
I hit record, then you hit play. Yeah,
but it's, I feel like my confusion is legitimate.
It is.
Wow, look at all your pens.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That must be where some Scots have ended up on this deck over here. I didn't take them, I swear. Uh-huh, whoever sits in the seat at the meeting has taken them.
You are pretty
like a little squirrel hoarding the stuff over here. Mm. All right, it is 6 o'clock. We will go ahead and call the Tuesday, June 21st workshop to order. Can I have a motion to amend the agenda to hold the public hearing on Ordinance 2022-04 to the beginning of the meeting, please?
I make a motion that we move the public hearing for Ordinance Number 2022-04 to the beginning of the meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, can I have a motion to open the public hearing for Ordinance Number 2022-04, which is an ordinance of the Town of Federalsburg authorizing a line of credit promissory note with Provident State Bank in the principal amount of $500,000, the proceeds of which may be used to provide interim financing to cover expenses and indebtedness that may arise from the operation of town business.
Move we open the public hearing on Ordinance 2022-04.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Is there any public comment?
The only comment that I will add is that since the introduction, at that time the interest rate was 5%, and it is now 4.3%. 4.3. It's still a variable interest rate, but the last time when we introduced it, the bank had included the wrong interest rate within the promissory note, so that's been amended.
Are there any other comments?
That was cheaper than
five.
No, I know it's cheaper than the five.
My comment was it's cheaper than the five we started with.
Yes, but also, what did Shore United give us?
I don't remember exactly, but it was either it was like five, I think.
I thought it was 4 point something, too. I just wanted to make sure it was cheaper. I can't put my hands on it.
Providence
I'm sorry for that.
Providence was the cheapest of the five, I think, that I called.
Providence was?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought, sure, you know, maybe it was just that they came in under the five that Providence said to start with is what I was thinking. Okay.
Any other comments? Okay. Can I have a motion to close the public hearing for Ordinance 2022-04, please?
I'll move that we close that public hearing.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, next we have public comment. You can step up to the podium and state your name, please.
Yes, good evening. My name is Michael Anderson. I own a couple properties here in Federalsburg. I guess I've run into a couple issues with the last two that I've purchased and I've been working with, which is 208 River Road, and then right next door, which is 204 River Road. I'll start with 204 first. I bought that property in August. I've been getting a water and sewer bill for it since. The water was been turned off for years before I even purchased the property. There's never been trash, to my knowledge. No trash cans are at that property. Trash has never been picked up from that property. I spoke with Larry. He did research and said he went back 30 years and couldn't find where trash has ever been picked up. There's no trash cans at that property, so I'm getting a water, sewer, trash bill for a property that's never had trash cans, never had trash pickup since I bought it. I mean, I'm not trying to get back it. I'm just trying to, you know, why am I paying for it when it was years before I even got it, it wasn't being done. So I have that question. Other thing is, when I ran in with 208, well, the property line when I bought 204 because of, I guess when the town put in the road in between 208 and I guess it would be 210 or whatever that is across the street. What is that? Smith Street. When they put Smith Street in, evidently they must have given part of 204 or 208's land to the town to put the road in, and that property was never adjusted in the tax records or land records. So when I went and got a land survey done on 204, when after I purchased that property, there was a variance of 15 feet, basically give and take, where, you know, the line can be 15 feet this way, depending on which you bounce it off on this side, or where 15 feet this way if you bounce it off the other side. So basically, through research or whatever, that's the only thing I could come up with, that, you know, when they put a road in, they get people on each side of it to give up a certain amount of property in order for them to put the road in, an easement, whatever you want to call it. But that was never recorded, so I found that 208 wasn't as big as it's supposed to be, I guess, and so forth. And so 204 is not as big as it's supposed to be. So when I had the survey done, I checked with Larry about the distance that the houses are supposed to be from the property line in for town. It's supposed to be a minimum of 10 feet. So I had to go in and ask for a motion or whatever to move the line 3.5 feet in order to get the 10 feet from the property line. So I went in and did that. Well, in that process, dealing with 208, because of moving the line, I guess, the 3.5 feet, there's a chunk back in the day, I guess, to the gentleman that owned the property, gave, I guess, a little chunk of the property to his sister or something, and then she, I don't know what happened, but anyway, the land is just a little square piece or whatever, but it's, from what I'm told from Larry, it's too small to build one, but it used to be part of 208, and I was looking into purchasing that property from the Caroline County tax sale that they have, because evidently somebody hasn't paid taxes on it. A little square piece of property for years. So the back taxes, and along with these towns' water and sewer and garbage bill for that property, is over $15,000, and the property is only worth like $3,000 to $5,000. Because I was looking to like purchase that property, add it back into 208, and make it a complete whole part. And speaking with the Caroline County tax lady there, she said that one of the options would be to come speak with you all, and that I guess the town would be able to forbear any water and sewer bill for that property, since there's nothing there. The lot's too small to build on, so I don't know why you would bill a lot for a water and sewer bill when they can't put nothing there to supply water and sewer or have trash pickup. So it doesn't make much sense. I know I've been told by a town that if the pipes run past your property, then you have access to water and sewer, so you have to pay for it, which I find sort of funny, because, I mean, I have cable running by my house, but if I don't purchase that cable, I don't get a cable bill just because it's there. But for some reason, the town of Fellowsburg charges a water and sewer bill and trash just for having pipes run by your property, even though you don't have anything on it, or the lot's too small to put anything on it. So I'm basically trying to bring all that to you all's attention. Maybe, I mean, I know you all didn't do it. I mean, it's somebody back, you know, in the day trying to get as much revenue for the town as they can, I guess. But I just thought it was unethical to charge people for something when they can't even build on the property, the lot is too small, just because the pipes run by. I mean, and then again, for me to be getting charged for a water and sewer bill, I mean, like you say, I'm still working on the house. It's not done yet. When it's done, yeah, we'll need water, and I will need a trash can, and I'll start, you know, that process then. But in the meantime, for over how many years, 20 years or so, that house has been empty. You know, why, like I said, I've only had till August, though, but why am I paying a water, sewer, trash bill for something that's never had water, sewer since I purchased it?
So
we probably need to look at that policy, and we actually had this discussion about charging people whether or not, just because the pipe run past it doesn't mean that they should be charging. I mean, I don't feel, if I'm not using your services, I don't feel that I should be paying for it. So I don't know what the rationale was previously.
So the rationale is that the users who are not actually connected but are within town pay towards the debt service. So they pay off the town's what it originally cost the town to upgrade those services, so that when they go to connect in, they have that ability and they've been paying the debt service the whole time. It's a much lesser rate, and the town also reserves capacity for that lot.
But they also pay the hookup fee.
Yeah.
I would say at the time that this was put in place, there probably wasn't a hookup fee, or if it was,
probably
it was
not.
So small that it didn't make a difference. Because I know this has been in place for years, and I don't know necessarily that a hookup fee, if we have one in the past, maybe 20 years or so, when they were looking at that big development out there beside Food Line, is when they really raised the hookup fee, so it made a difference. Before then, I think it was next to nothing, if I'm correct.
Right. The key was that we have to reserve that, like any lot in town that is considered buildable or usable, we have to remove from our allotment. So even though he doesn't have anything on it, and nobody living in it, we still have to take that out of, no one else can use that either.
Right.
So the town has to be able to get, and the garbage policy was always, that was done years and years ago. It's just, it's kind of like the empty lot fee or whatever. They've always, again.
And most municipalities
we don't use it.
Do that.
We still charge you for it. But,
garbage, you know. Too?
For garbage, most do it. Yeah, they provide the service as the town, and if the resident chooses to opt out of it, there's really no way. Otherwise,
I'll be honest, I didn't know we did it for the garbage. I mean, I knew we did it for water and sewer, but I didn't know we did it for garbage.
Do we do garbage for empty lot or for vacant lots? Just for ones that have a house on it, yeah.
Okay.
So, but there is a house on both 204 and 208.
Correct.
Yes.
It's very difficult to, once there is a residential structure, have people opt out, because it's very difficult for the town to determine.
Well, we had that discussion earlier with the apartments, that we do not have a policy to allow residents to opt out. The only opt out is you say, I'm not going to use it, but you still have to pay for it. Because we had that with the trash.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the two structures that appear on 208 and 204 do not have town water or sewer hooked up to those residences?
They do.
Okay.
They've just been empty.
So.
Well, no, 208's been, I mean, I redid that one a couple of years ago, and I've got tenants in that one.
Learning.
So the last couple of years, I'm talking, the other one, 204, is the one that I bought in August.
Right.
That I'm paying a water, sewer, and trash bill for, but there's never been trash to that house pick up, no trash cans in the last 20, 30 years.
Learning that information generally, what municipalities do is, if there was existing water and sewer already there, they continue to charge either a vacant lot fee or the debt service, because otherwise, if they remove it, he has to repay the connection fee when he goes to reconnect.
Right.
Which, well, you don't want
to
do that.
$50 they charge when they come out and turn your water back on after it's been...
No, it's a reservation of capacity and connection fee. It's $5,000, $55,000.
Well, that's for a new building. I mean, you're going in and putting new pipes in. I mean, the pipes and everything are already there. So, I mean, like when I lived in I got tenants that live in 515, and they get a notice that, hey, we're going to come turn your water off. If we do that, it's going to cost you $50, because all they do is they come out and turn the knob off. They leave, and then when they pay their bill, they come back and turn it back on. So there's a turn off and on fee for pipes and everything.
I understand that, yeah. So the $5,500 is to pay for your use of capacity within the town's plant. So if you no longer pay the vacant lot fee, you're no longer reserving capacity. So when you want to use that capacity, you have to repay for it.
So what you're getting in a sewer and water bill is the minimum charge, because there's no actual usage, right?
Correct. Well, if you want to call it a minimum charge, I mean, I'm getting charged over $700. I mean, granted, they were classifying it as four units, and I had to wait until I had the inside structure structured for two, and show Mr. Newsom that, hey, it's, as you can, you know, I had to take him down there and show him it's actually two units now, not four, that he was able to come back here and let them know, okay, change it to two.
To 2 years, right.
So, I mean, I've been paying over $700 every 3 months for water and sewer bill for not having water or trash pickup. I mean, not trash cans, if I had trash to put in there for somebody to pick up.
So where did the $15,000 come in? Is that what's attached to that small lot?
Well, that is 208. There's a small lot in the
right.
center of 208 in the back that was cut out, I guess, years ago. And I guess it got caught up in not paying their taxes, so some land company in Baltimore bought it. Now they haven't paid taxes on it, so now it's sitting there. But it's too small to build on.
Right.
But they're charging a water and sewer bill for it. And so about $6,000 or $7,000 of the money that the Caroline County Tax Office is trying to sell it for is water and sewer bill for a felon.
So that's a vacant lot.
Yeah, there's nothing on it. That's not
big
enough
to
build on.
And it's too small
for
town code to build on.
So that one I would question with the water. So
yes, I would too. I was going to say the same thing. That one I don't see why.
The minimum bill for water. So if I moved out of my house and called down here and said, turn off my water, I'm still going to get a bill every 3 months.
Yes.
For a minimum fee. Like that, I mean, that once it's there,
it's
hooked up.
It's the debt service fee. And what's that? Like the 35, what's
the,
just the debt service?
185.64 unit.
Okay.
That's the minimum bill that you're going to get.
And that's included, that's a debt service.
Yes.
That includes all that is.
But if there's not, if there's a small lot with no building on it, I would have a question as to what that water and sewer bill
is. You don't get the 185.64 if there's no building on it. It's 32.76.
Okay.
Which is the vacant lot.
Which is the vacant
yes.
lot fee.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a water and sewer bill. It can't be for this little square then.
But like
well,
in that case,
it's too small to build on. So why would you get a bill at all? If it's too small to build on.
Yeah, but if he can't put a house there,
so there's no reservation. There needs to be. There's no reservation for the wastewater treatment plant.
Like
you're not reserving
that
any uses.
Yeah, I can see. Well, we need to stop charging. You know, do
you
something with that.
The one behind 208.
Yeah, there's a little square that they said is
right.
too small to build.
There was service there years ago. The town acquired that property probably 15 years ago. We tore it down through clean and lien. Took it to court. We placed the lien against the property, and U.S. Lien fought it at a tax sale.
There was
a little house on it. It was dilapidated for a long time, but there was service
but
there.
But since then, we've changed our codes.
Yeah.
To make it.
Yeah, so it's too
so
small.
So now it's too limited.
That's why they tore the house down, so mm-hmm. they don't have to pay it.
And you all removed the service because they were tearing the house down.
Correct. Because we had to, they kept kicking the doors in. We had to keep going right. I remember it now. There was a house there.
Okay. So that one we should definitely look at fixing.
Yes.
The other one, I'm not sure we can do much about that because of reserving the capacity.
As far as the road part is concerned, you know, the town doesn't put roads in. Whoever builds the street puts the road in, and we end up absorbing it. So any easements or property conveyance would not be our responsibility in the first place. We would only acquire the road or maintain the road after we accepted it. Somebody else would have done that beforehand. So the town doesn't put roads in. They accept them when they're done.
Right.
So I would have no idea who would have.
Yeah, I mean,
it should have been awarded,
but paved road. I mean, right. It's been there since I moved here in like 2000.
Oh, Smith Street's been there forever.
Yeah,
the problem is it's something that should have been taken care of probably 100 years ago would be my guess. I've been here 53 years, and it was well established 53, you know, that long ago. So, so the question is not just whether we're going to cut the fee off to that little vacant lot, but whether we're going to waive the back taxes to make that a lot more feasible for him to buy and put back on our tax rolls and for us to get money out of the being on the tax rolls.
Yeah, so I can try to incorporate it back in.
Well, you would just pull it into 208, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay.
Part
and
of that
then
one, and then
increase the square footage of that lot. And
right.
I mean, I personally have no problem. I mean, because it's not worth him to buy it at that price, and it's not going to be worth anybody to buy it at that price. It's just going to sit there.
Right, might as well be absorbed
forever.
Into 208 and
where it belongs.
Is
right.
that what's listed? What's the address of that little
the little square. Mm-hmm. I could not tell you how. It should be Smith Street. I think it's
102 Smith. So yeah, it's right behind Smith. Okay. Yeah. That's what's right behind it. Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, there might be clean and lane charges attached to that, too. So if we make a motion to waive it, we want to include that and we'll include it.
But I guess my question is, if we sold that lien to a lien holder,
we put it up for tax sale.
Tax sale.
The lien holder bought it at tax sale.
Bought it at tax. So can we waive it?
We can.
Okay.
So now the lien holder hasn't paid his taxes, so that's why it's at the
tax sale again.
Yeah. Just done a big circle.
We've got some interesting numbering going on. Just looking at it. I'm looking at that's 208, but that's 204 River, which is obviously on Sunshine. And that's 102 Smith. Smith's down here. We got a lot of.
Well, that's 208 runs all the way back. So
right.
That's one thing. But yeah, I see the rest.
204.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got some stuff. That's the fun.
Yeah, I have no problem waiving the charges for that little lot. I don't see where we can do much on the other two. I think it would set a precedent. We're not ready to sit for the rest of the town at this point.
We can definitely help out with the
small lot. Whatever that is. Yeah. I've got no problem waiving all them charges so he can.
And that was 122 Smith Street?
102.
So, Christy, do you know how much that is?
Not off the top of my head. I can do it.
No, I was just on that.
All right, well, we would need that for the motion to be able to waive it. We would need the amount, but.
You need an exact amount or just. Waive all charges associated with.
Can we just waive
Smith
all charges?
Street.
Yeah, you can just make that.
I'll make a motion. We waive all charges associated with 102 Smith Street owed to town of Fettlesburg.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. All right, we got your Smith Street problem straightened out. The other one is a larger can of worms that we can't really address right now, but this one at least you can take care of that piece.
Is it 208 you have? Tenants in now?
Yes.
Do you have trash cans?
Yeah, 208 does have trash cans.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's 204.
204 is.
Which is unoccupied.
Which one's on the corner?
204.
208's
on the
corner. Okay. So 204 is a big yellow house.
Well,
not anymore.
Yellow.
It's blue now.
Okay.
It used to be yellow. Now it's a pretty blue.
But 204, you're being charged now as two units and not four.
Well,
you got that
know.
Straight?
It's going through yet. Okay.
Okay. So that will help some.
Yeah. Like I said, it was like steep. When I first got the first water bill, and I was like, $700.
I'm sure.
I'm like, what happened here?
Because it was four apartments.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eight bedrooms, four beds.
And the funny thing is, it's a piggyback thing where there's actually only one water hookup to the town. But they piggyback all four units off of that one hookup. So there's not four separate. So in other words, each person in the unit didn't get their own water bill. It was one water bill because it's only one line coming in for the whole house.
What a nightmare.
Yeah, so.
Tell me about it.
The only one in town. I bet. Okay, so we'll get the Smith Street squared away with you with Caroline County.
Okay.
So you can at least get the 102 Smith Street squared away.
All right. I appreciate it so much. I appreciate y'all's help and attention in the matter. And hopefully, I guess, you know, I know I've been speaking with Larry. He said there was other properties out there sort of in the same boat where they're too small to build one, but they're still getting the water and sewer bill. So maybe they'll, you know, you'll be able to help
probably
them out
need to revisit
well, so.
That.
Yes, definitely, for sure. Thank you, and thank you for fixing up those houses. We appreciate it.
Yes, for sure.
To my part, yeah, I'm trying to make things look better. Get a good place for people to live, you know, make some people into town and spend their money and all that good stuff.
We
absolutely appreciate
that.
Thank you, y'all. Have a good
thank
day.
You,
you
too.
Anderson.
All right, next we have, is there any other public comment? There's a bunch of people online, but...
Is Mr. Ed online?
Mr. Ed is online.
Okay.
Yes, he is.
I just wanted to make sure I put
a
present.
He is. He's there. All right, next we have the If I Were Mayor contest. So the kids are out of school, so I will be forwarding Angel the winners. And then we'll see if we can host them maybe at a meeting in September when the kids are back in school.
Next, we have proposal for a purchase of the Industrial Park Road water tank cell tower lease.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, this is a follow-up from previous discussions. What's in front of you is the highest of the big proposals we've received from Tower Point, and two of the gentlemen from Tower Point are on. That would be Joe D'Amato and Adam. Sorry, I don't forget your last name, Carson. So if there's any direct questions for them, they're available. This is the, you've got the draft easement document attached. Having follow-up from the previous meeting, I did speak with Mr. D'Amato and informed him that a non-disclosure agreement is not possible. I put the, because it constitutes public record, and Tower Point understands that, I put the rent in context. The rent constitutes less than one penny on the real property tax, not all property tax, just on the real estate property tax. And of the $2,610,801 of general fund revenue in the budget that was just adopted, the rent from the cell tower lease constitutes 0.58% of those total revenues. As was mentioned before, sale of the lease does not involve loss of ownership, access to, or maintenance of the water tank, and there's no transfer of real property in this transaction. It really conveys the right to another party to extend rental agreements, set and collect rent from those rental agreements. So staff's not asking for any action tonight. There are certain other considerations relative to access. Ryan Lucy is on the call as well. He is from Southern Corrosion, and those are our contractors who take care of the water tanks. So if there's any particular questions about access or safety or anything like that, Mr. Lucy is probably best directed those questions. So pending further discussion, I'll provide direction to staff.
Do you guys have any questions?
My main question is still, I did not see addressed in here. If I did, I'm sorry. But what if, under whatever circumstances, in year 20, we have to take that water tower down? What type of implications does that present to the town?
You are still responsible for any of the terms in the underlying lease related to relocating. You're still responsible to maintain your tower, operate your tower, obviously, but maintain it in such that, so you have the existing lease on there, you're required under your existing lease to keep the tower operational or standing such that they can remain there. If the tower fell into disrepair and they had to relocate, you are the liable party.
So in other words, we do this deal and we're liable to keep a water tower standing that's 70 years old for another 99 years.
Yes. As long as the underlying lease is.
So if AT&T? AT&T goes bankrupt before then we don't have to worry about it.
Right. And AT&T goes bankrupt and no other providers come on.
Yeah. Right, right.
Our agreement isn't with AT&T. Well, you're saying our current agreement.
Our current agreement is with AT&T.
So this tower is 70-some years old.
I'm rough. I was somewhat rough. And how old is it?
1982.
Is it that now? Mm-hmm. I thought it was older than that.
See, that's recent. That's only 39 years old.
Just remember the date.
I doubled it.
Still.
So we're saying it has to have a life of 138 years.
What's a lifespan, roughly? Any idea?
938 years.
Mr. Lucy could probably speak to that from Southern Corrosion.
We had two that we tore down that were built in the 20s. We tore them down in the 2000s.
Early 2000s.
So this agreement
Lindsay,
does not allow us to, a tower comes to the end of its natural life, we're going to take it down and put another one up, transfer it over.
You would have to transfer it over at your expense.
might as well say for a 99-year lease, we're obligating the town to do at least once.
Mm-hmm. And you have to figure whatever your maintenance costs are, and will that $277 cover your maintenance costs for the next 100 years, 99?
Maintenance cost of the water tower?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as long as it's standing, we should have cost associated with it, whether we do that deal or not. So
right.
I don't see that as...
Right.
No, but if you think, so $277, if you get now 15 a year, what is that, 18 years? 15 years? So in year 19, you have to do maintenance, and you are no longer getting the 15. But that, but then the flip side of that is that AT&T leaves...
Right.
It doesn't stay for 99 years, or until the tower falls down.
But if the tower falls down, that's an insurance claim.
That's true.
No. And
that's a valid statement.
The agreement does talk about insurance claims, and that we would provide TowerPoint with a portion of the insurance payment equal to the remainder of their lease.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd be covered if the tower falls down. We're just talking about it coming to the end of its life, and sorry.
No, you're right.
That's assuming we even got that much money.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, you said you've had towns that have run into this.
Yes. Not that have done it. They've considered, and it's relatively, I think, TowerPoint and Landmark have been hitting up, I know at least Queenstown, for the last 3 or 4 years. And I think they do it annually. I know they've been coming to Federalsburg for maybe 4 or 5, maybe even longer. Queenstown's issue was their water tower is in disrepair now. And so they're in the process actually of decommissioning it and building a new one. Now once they build that one, whether they sell, I'm not sure. But it was too big of a risk at that time.
How much does it cost to build a new water tower?
It's a lot.
And I would also question, we have no footprint, we have no reserve to build one.
They are doing a new 250,000 gallon per day water tower, and the grant and loan they got from USDA was 2.8.
We were close to a million 20 years ago, weren't we?
When the last one was put in, it was 1.5.
Yeah.
Now, these are pre-COVID. This was 2018 when it was bid, so they're getting ready to do it, and I think it's doubled.
2003,
I bet it has.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the council when we were doing all that. We did a water tower and did some piping down
University.
Yeah.
So does hearing our concerns, does anybody from TowerPoint have anything to say? I mean, it kind of sounds like the proposal is, and it's an attractive proposal.
Oh, Adam has his hand up.
Okay, to get some stuff, but like if you're coming in and saying a 99, you're offering us a 99-year lease, are you setting us up?
I think another question, and Larry, you might be able to answer this, is what is the actual easement area? Have we gotten any depiction of what?
The easement area is just going to be big.
The
tank itself.
Okay.
It's not any property.
I wasn't sure if they, sometimes they do just the existing where the AT&T site is now and not the entire top, or is it the entire top?
It should just be the corral.
Sorry,
Adam. If you're talking, I can't hear you yet.
Yeah,
I don't hear you. Hold on. Let's see what we got going on here. Hold on, Adam.
couple different options I got going on here. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yep, yes. The owl was muted.
Okay, perfect. So, to address some of your points before, no, we do ask for the 99-year term because we're buying it for the life of the site. Normally, if we were to purchase an asset that produces income, we would just buy it outright and just own it. But because we're not actually buying the land, we're just buying the lease, we use the 99-year term to affect the life of the site. Now, we don't expect it to be there for 99 years, not for a second. So we include what we call a sunset clause, whereas if the tenant does leave, we have a 5-year period to try to replace that tenant. If we are unable to do so, then the site is deemed abandoned and we dissolve our easement and effectively walk away from the property. So I know 99 year obviously sounds like a long time, but it's not. It's just in lieu of using a perpetuity or just basically buying it outright.
So that's good for if the tenant leaves. I think our major concern is that this water tower is going to have to come down at some point within the next 99 years.
So what this happens quite often, and what they would do is just set up a temporary cell on wheels while the reconstruction got done, and then they would just reapply the equipment on top of the water tank once it's been recompleted.
At our expense.
In your experience, who has paid for the temporary tower and then the relocation?
It depends what the lease says, frankly. So sometimes property owners will have that built into the lease, sometimes you don't. It really depends on what the underlying lease reads. But generally speaking, if the language isn't in there, the property owner is required to pay for any sort of relocation. The lease expires, I believe, in the next 10 or 15 years. So regardless of what happens, you can't do anything until the lease expires as it stands right now, which is, I have it at 2040. So regardless, you have no ability to alter anything until 2040. So if we were to take possession of it today, we're all bound by the letter of the lease for minimum the next 18 years.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I hear you.
So from someone perspective like mine, I'm the contractor that does the water tower maintenance. Very frequently, the subcontractors that work for Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, they're pretty renegade. So they get access to whatever they want to, and they create unsafe situations and violations to me and their subcontractor myself.
Okay.
All because, like the one that you sent to me, which I had the opportunity to review. So there were some things in there that I highlighted for Larry. That was just at a first. Not saying that you might have actually intentionally used. However, these are just things that we need to experience.
Understood. So TowerPoint itself is not a carrier. We're not an operating tenant. We're simply just managing the paper, essentially. So the relationship you have with the carrier would remain unchanged. You'd still be in contact with them. They'd still work with you. You're still the property owner. If you do have issues with them, their subcontractors coming out, we can be helpful in that regard. We have telecom attorneys on staff, and we deal directly with the carrier on a multitude of issues. So if you have grievances, bring them to us, after you take possession, and we'd be able to help address it. And they listen to us because we're one of the largest landlords they have. But TowerPoint itself will never be on the property. The subcontractor, then any maintenance that needs to get done, will just continue as is, as if we had never done this transaction.
So it sounds like from what they were saying, with the answer to our question being it depends on how the lease reads.
With AT&T?
No.
With them?
About who pays for relocation.
No,
I
think
it's the underlying lease in AT&T. That's what he's talking about. So the what's in the underlying lease from AT&T is who is responsible.
We would have to put it up.
Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha.
So we need to check that lease.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I thought he was talking about with the portable on wheels. That depended on how the lease read.
No, you...
That portable lease, that would be... any change to your current equipment, say they wanted to go temporary, that would require an amendment. So they would say, hey, we want to go temporary for the next 2 years while you replace this, or however long it takes, you know, please sign this amendment that governs how the temporary setup works during the reconstruction period.
Right, but unless there's a protection in this document, you could say at that time, no, we're not signing this amendment, and we could be on the hook to break the lease just to do something that we have to do to serve our citizens. So that's a gentleman's agreement that might not come into play for the next 50 years when other people are sitting here that we've obligated them to do. Unless we write something into this lease.
We can put protection language in the easement agreement for any renewals. That we can do.
Yeah.
You know, we're all bound by what's currently there right now, but anything going forward, we're very flexible in how we structure these easement documents. So you'll have an opportunity before anything is finalized to go back and forth with our easement to make sure any protections or language you want to see in there is at the very least presented to us. And if we can approve it, we will.
Okay, so I guess we need to see what's in our underlying AT&T lease before we can say how we're going to alter something else.
Mm-hmm. And then moving forward with this, I think there needs to be language that talks about when the tower gets to the end of its usable life. So not that we just willy-nilly decide that we're going to tear it down, because that's not a protection for them.
Right.
And not... they say, well, we think it's this many years, but when experts come in and say this thing is done, we need some language that governs that and what that process looks like. Because if it's got protections for the town, that's one thing. But I kind of don't like...
meaning if they were up in the tower and it's all, like, rotted, it needs to be turned down before it falls off, right, just to cover that, right.
And says, guys, this tower's got 5 more years.
Right.
And our town engineer says, I concur, it's got 5 more years. We've got a couple experts say 5 more years. Like, we're not just picking a number.
We don't feel like paying to maintain it anymore, so we're going to let it fall into disrepair.
Exactly, not that.
It's beyond payment to maintain.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we need to have protection in there for that as well.
Yep.
Now, just for heck's sake, you know, odds are, because it's an industrial park that's a heavy user, odds are when that tower is at the end of its life, we're going to replace it in the same area. Mm-hmm. It may not be the same spot, but we would replace it in the same area, so basically the equipment would just shift when the new one's up. The old one wouldn't be taken down until
the
new one is actually, because that's what we did with the ones we just replaced.
Right.
So you would just shift the equipment. So they wouldn't even really need a portable unit, would still be there until the new one was done, and then the equipment would just be shifted. I'm assuming, again,
but that's quite.
I probably won't be here for when that happens, but, you know.
I have heard that it is expensive, though, to just move it, even if you're moving it.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
But, and we couldn't do it. It's not like we would be able to do it.
Yeah.
It would be their contractor. AT&T has as a contractor.
But that's where language that says that this has come to the end of its life and there's a suitable replacement right next to it.
You pay to move yourself.
or even if it said something like it shall be, like that shall constitute fulfillment of this agreement, mm-hmm. you know, and not have them say, well, we don't want to move it, and you're under a 9-year lease, and we leased this on this tower, and now you're breaking it and you owe us all this money. Like, that's the protection.
If the site was in disrepair, AT&T themselves needs to be on a valid structure. So if they come to the conclusion, as your experts do as well, that there's only a shortened lifespan, they will basically come to us and say, hey, solve this problem or we're going to leave the property.
Right.
And there's no clawback to the funds, too. So once we actually paid you, you know, if they left 3 days later, that's our loss.
Right.
Okay.
Looks like we just need to get some language.
Yes. So does anybody else have any other questions regarding the lease part? Okay. All right. So we'll do a little investigating on what the underlying lease says
for AT&T. See if I can maybe come up with some language and send to them, and we can go back and forth before your next meeting with something that's agreeable to them as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I believe they have a copy. You have a copy of our easement document already, so feel free to redline it or whatever you'd like to do to comport with, you know, that you feel comfortable with, and then I can take it to our legal to see what we can get approved. But the goal is to come to a mutually agreed document that everybody feels comfortable moving forward with.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Adam.
All right, thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, next we have discussion on the water tank lights and maintenance agreement.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, this has come up before. The agreement between the three parties has expired at the end of last calendar year. There's apparently no agreement in place. And it is our understanding that one of the three parties involved is interested in continuing to be the financially responsible party. Right now, the maintenance of the lights is something, again, that Mr. Lucy can speak to that process. A group called Pixel Lumen is the one that actually is responsible for the lighting on the tank. They are paid on a twice-a-year basis, according to the representative there that I spoke with last week. The program basically runs at cost, and not knowing what that cost is, I can't tell you if that's a responsible deal or not a responsible deal. But moving forward, if there's no third party who's got the obligation for the lights and the light show, then that goes to the town. So this is an opportunity to do some discussion about the lights, the obligation for the lights. I've been informed by the Pixel Lumen Group that I verified that this morning, that there's a bank of lights. The lights run vertical, not horizontal, as far as banks are concerned. There's a bank of lights that are not operative based on the bypass side. Those need to be repaired or replaced. It was scheduled earlier on, again, this speaks to Mr. Lucy's concerns, that the way they fix their lights is they send their crew up and they rappel down. But that process was delayed because of concerns about storms and lightning, which was...
Valid, yeah.
But again, we have no agreement, we have no hold harmless, we have no insurance information, and all of that would need to be under the town if the town moves forward with the obligation to maintain the lighting on this is the M&M tank, just that we keep everything straight. This is the M&M tank, not the industrial road tank. And you know, there we are at this point. Pixel Lumen isn't really approaching the town for any payment or any information or anything like that. But this is ongoing, and at this point, there's really no, these lights really have sort of fallen into a gap. And that gap needs to be filled, or an acknowledgement of whose responsibility is what and who pays for what. So that's where we are. You've got a copy of the recently expired MOU. I guess we weren't anticipating someone from the Historical Society to be here to say for certain that they're not interested in being a financial agent anymore. I believe that's been introduced in the past. And I take them at their word. But number two, actually, from there, they would speak to the council to sue
them. Right.
Responsibility.
Do you have anything else from the Historical Society?
No.
I thought Denise was going to come tonight, but...
Their concern, because I did speak with the chairman of their board again, is her understanding of the MOU is it talks about all these different scenarios, but it never specifically says if the Historical Society is the one that backs out, where does that leave them? So that is their biggest legal concern. And she would like that sort of resolved. But that aside, they really do not, they have no interest in being involved in the water tower. It can stay up, it can go, but they don't want I think ultimately they would like to see it stay, obviously, but that's where they stay.
The actual cost of day-to-day operations is not very high, correct? We pay the electric now, and it's nothing.
It's like $50-some or something. It's minimal.
$1,800 for the year.
Yeah, yeah, it's minimal. Yeah.
Was never a big fan of the lights to start with. I thought Fettlesburg could do a lot more for the town with the money spent than lights on the water tower. But with that being said, they are there and the money's been spent.
Correct.
There is money in a bank account. I would say at this point, we present the Fettlesburg Historical Society and the Friends of the Water Tower with a agreement of however revised MOU stating that we are taking both the lights and the bank account over, and all further decisions on the lights will fall to the Mayor and Council of Fettlesburg do with at our discretion, whether that be keep them going, take them down when the first paint job needs to be and it's too expensive to put them up, but have everything fall back on us and we just take everything over and have them sign off on it and we move forward with the lights.
I think that's the cleanest way to handle it.
That's their preference, and I think that's what we need to do as well.
You know, that might mean they stay up for a year. It might mean we have money to budget, they run for the next 20, but, you know.
Right now there's about $46,000 in that account. Well, I guess until after they get the bill for fixing the bank of lights, it's out. Then the question will be, once that $50,000 or $46,000 is exhausted, at what point do
right.
we then say, we're not going to fund this anymore and they're out, or somebody holds a fundraiser to turn them back on? But depending on, I don't know how long the $46,000 will last, but I think that's the cleanest way is to just have everybody done with it and everybody's...
Has the Mayor and Council heard anything from the Friends of the Water Tower? Has there been any communication with us?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
As of, this is February of 2021, they had $34,000 in the Water Tower Fund.
No, I thought they had more than that.
I don't think they've done any bingo since then, so I doubt that it's grown by much. I mean,
oh, I thought it was more than that.
No, I mean, that's
right.
My notes from the meeting.
Okay.
Since this MOU has expired, do any of these terms carry over now? I mean, like, there is no agreement, correct?
Not the way that I agree.
I mean, we can do whatever.
Well, it says in there, and for some reason the first page of mine didn't print, but isn't there a provision in there specifically for what happens to the bank account?
Well, it says that the Historical Society keeps it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And it says termination will be upon completion of the agreed upon date, which I would think is the...
December 31st. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so is completion, you know, that was one of my questions, you know, is expiration the same as termination? With an MOU? I mean, this is expired. Nobody terminated
it's not, yeah, I would just say it's an expired agreement. All the terms are no, it's void.
Well,
everything in here is null and void right now because it's expired.
And it's between us and the Historical Society, and it says extension may be extended upon the agreement of both parties, and right now the Historical Society is not agreeing.
Right.
Right?
Correct. And you're out of the expiration
date.
So
Friends of the Water Tower has no recourse then. I mean, because
right.
I think if there's any
no,
pushback, that's
it
where it's
them.
Going to be
yeah.
from.
And the only way it all happened was because of the Historical Society willing to play that role anyway. So if they're no longer willing to play it, Friends of the Water Tower really has no
right.
where else to turn to do anything. So.
From the Historical Society's point of view, I think if we could present them with something, I mean, they just don't want to be in an awkward situation.
Right.
So.
Now, do you think they're open to turning over that money?
Yes.
It was raised specifically for that
purpose. It's for the water tower, and it's not like we're going to
yeah.
go
yeah.
They will go with that. We're going to use it for the water tower.
Right. It will go. It'll be strictly used for anything dealing with those lights on that water tower.
And that's really what they want. I mean, they just want to move the money over here and let us.
I say let's just do it and be done with it and move on and see how long the $34,000 gets us, and we'll have lights on the water tower until then.
Agreed. So do we need
a motion that we have Lindsay draft a agreement with the Fettlesburg Historical Society, allowing the mayor council to take over the lights and the bank account of the money raised?
Can I interject?
I just want to know, does anyone have a contract with this, what's it called?
Pixel Lumen,
because I do know that it's been very expensive, and they have to do everything, including program it.
I'd like for us to be able to do that.
So, I mean, I think if the town is going to assume the operation of it, that we could probably look into someone else doing that and making the, because again, the company that comes in and does that owns no equipment. They rent the equipment at the charge of the customer. When they install it, they rented a crane
As far as putting it up and all, yes. Correct.
And replacing the panels or whatever.
And that crane's not cheap, because that was a huge crane.
Know, and again, the stuff doesn't weigh a ton. It's already up there. You only have to replace pieces. So I think, I don't know the company, but...
But I think what we're saying now is...
a few charges.
I think what we're saying now is, this is done. There's money over there for it. We're going to take control of the money. What we do with that, this point, has to be in the best interest of the town. So if we invite Pixel Lumen to come to a work session and we can't take control of it, and it has to be through them, and it has to be at a great expense, then $34,000 might be in the best interest of the town to pay to have the lights removed.
Well, right, and it just stays, or it stays a bouncing ball that goes around and never changes.
Or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, we don't change it.
Right.
Welcome to Fettlesburg.
Right. 2023. Sturgeon, all the way around.
Well, there's the over-under. Who had 657 for the first mention of Sturgeon? But at this point, it's just about getting the money transferred over.
Right.
At that point, then, what happens to it? Does it remain?
Our decision.
It becomes a matter of public policy.
And my suspicion is any contract is between Friends of the Water Tower or their chairman and Pixel Lumen, not the historical.
Well, but she would no longer be able to call and make changes or request changes.
Correct.
Because then all of a sudden the town is getting a bill for something that she has no say in anymore.
Correct.
Well, technically now she has no authority, really, for the last 6 months.
Right. Ryan, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yes, my suggestion at this point would be any agreement you have with Pixel Lumen should have some rhetoric in there that suggests that whenever the termination of that agreement is, that he removed the lights at that time at no additional charge. Or, alternatively, that you have a balance in the account that is sufficient to pay that for him to remove them.
When it comes to that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we don't even know if there is a contract or an agreement with Pixel Lumen. We don't know what that is either, right? When you talked to him, Larry, was there a mention of a contract with Friends of the Water Tower, or the agreement is just on call, whatever they need, they send a bill?
Without knowing that they have or having a contract, it sounds like it's an on call.
Okay. We should certainly investigate if there was some other contract that they signed on behalf of the town with Pixel Lumen that we're not aware of.
Well, there's that. So all those lights then belong to Pixel Lumen? We're just kind of renting them? Or
no,
we own the lights, the town owns the lights? Okay.
I just think that because they were the installation crew, that whoever's been making the decisions has been using them, because that's who they're familiar with and
sure.
the installation. Again, it may not be able to be done cheaper, but it seems like, it could be done.
Yeah, I would like to be able to change it ourselves.
Yes,
I mean,
it would
really
be nice
see
if we could.
Any
I do like it. I mean, on a snowy night where you're pushing snow, it is fun to look at, Christmas and the holidays that's put on. I do enjoy it.
Yeah. It'd be nice if we could modify it and put whatever on it. Right.
I can't imagine there's not some agreement with them that will allow that to happen.
Right.
According to these agreements, Lindsay, whether it's the first one that we're involved in or the second one between, so that's the fiscal sponsor agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Who actually owns the lights?
Why are you smiling?
Because I have the same question.
I mean, it's town property. I imagine they're the town's lights.
But I don't read anything that says they were ever ceded to the town or that they became town property.
I read every word.
Lindsay, I mean this as a compliment. You did not write this.
Correct. She only just saw it recently the first time.
When we got a copy of it, she saw it. And that was clearly stated that our town attorney did not do it. It was somebody from the Historical Society wrote both of those agreements.
But, I mean, are we getting into a situation where we don't know who owns them and we have to, declare them ours?
Well, I think
it's property that's was put on your town property. How would they own? I mean, it was used with town money to pay for.
It wasn't town
money.
No,
it was raised as...
It was raised on the premise that it was being used for the purpose of that. Right.
Correct.
Is there still a Friends for...
Yes.
And that would be my other problem, is that Facebook page needs to be changed. That is no longer Friends of the Water Tower, because they are no longer fundraising for that water tower.
I mean, that would make, if it belongs to them, then... But if they're defunct...
Well, they're not defunct, but I don't think they're a true...
They're not a real organization.
I mean, they're loosely formed.
And raise some money for the first couple of years and then step away.
Right, which was the purpose of the 5-year expiration on the MOU.
And then have the town take care of it?
Yes.
Okay. So their intent was for us to own them.
I'm 99% sure the intent was that they're ours.
That was always my understanding.
And for us to slowly get... They were paying for them, the big upfront cost, and then perhaps not very well worded or laid out here.
Well,
but then the transition.
The money was held by the Historical Society, right? Which means that the purchase was made and paid for by the Historical Society.
That's
right?
Correct.
Yes.
Which means if anybody might own them besides us, it would be
them.
The Historical Society, right?
I would think.
They don't want them.
So in our agreement with the Historical Society, why don't we just make it formal?
That they're transferring ownership of said lights and said bank accounts, whatever. Everything purchased on the water tower to us.
I mean, the Historical Society truly thought that at the end of the last year, their obligation was done. And they were, so they were kind of surprised to know that, they're still kind of on the hook.
I promise I'm not doing this in jest. But if someone really, really, really wanted to work on this project and wanted to join somehow the Parks and Rec Committee or something like that, have at it.
Yeah, I mean, we can totally delegate it to somebody we choose.
Have at it. Raise the money. Do what you want
to
do.
You just then delegate it to somebody you choose.
I'm not fundraising.
I think the Parks and Rec liaison just got an extra task.
I don't think Public Works is having a big sale. I'm just saying. But my point being, though, I mean...
That would be a logical place to put it.
But people that really have this as something they want to do could get involved and help prolong this project if they wanted to.
Yep.
But
that's what I'm trying to say.
The difference there is that they would be working under our supervision,
instead of expenses that still have to be approved.
Right.
Correct.
Because, honestly, it's our water tower and we don't know anything about it, and it's 5.5 years later, so.
Cool. And we still don't know much about it.
All right.
Okay.
That was fun.
Invigorating.
Ryan, do you have anything else you want to add before we move on to the next topic?
No, I think we've sufficiently covered.
Thank you, sir.
You just need a second to move on with the motion.
Yes.
So
we have there's a motion on the table.
I'll second it.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. All right. Next, we have Ordinance 2022-04, an ordinance in the town of Federalsburg authorizing a line of credit promissory note with Provident State Bank in the principal amount of $500,000, proceeds of which may be used to provide interim financing to cover expenses and indebtedness that may arise from the operation of town business. So can we have a motion to adopt ordinance, or is there a discussion?
No.
Okay, so seeing as how there is none, can I have a motion to adopt Ordinance 2022-04?
I make a motion that we adopt Ordinance 2022-04.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Next on the agenda is Ordinance 2022-05, an ordinance of the Mayor and Council of Federalsburg to amend Section 200-31 of the Federalsburg Town Code to provide a process for revising subdivision plats. You're up.
Yes, so I had sent this out by email, and thank you, Rob. I had a typo. I had Dorchester County instead of Caroline, because sometimes I look to other places for assistance. This is a process that allows you to revise recorded subdivision plats. The plat has to be recorded prior to, well, I put June 6, 2022 because that was when I drafted it, but really you could do today's date or when you have the public hearing. The thought was just that someone wouldn't go out tomorrow and record one and then come 2 years from now to have it amended. So within the process, they have to go to planning and zoning and determine whether it's a major or a minor amendment. If it's a major revision, it has to go all the way back through the subdivision plat approval process, which is pretty lengthy. If it's minor, the planning commission has the authority to approve it. So this just gives that process, and it came as a result of the Riverwalk Terrace subdivision revision request. The Planning Commission lacked the authority to revise it because it is a legally non-conforming recorded subdivision plat. So really, your code only gives them the process for going back through the major subdivision plat process, and at this point, they can't get anything else recorded because it's all going to be non-conforming. So that's what I have.
Anybody have any questions regarding that?
No.
Okay. So if there are no other questions, then can I have a motion to introduce and schedule the public hearing on July 18th for Ordinance 2022-05, an ordinance of the Mayor and Council of Federalsburg to amend Section 200-31 of the Federalsburg Town Code to provide a process for revising subdivision plats?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor? All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Okay, next we have review of the June 14th, 2022 street paving report from GMB. Town Manager Dury.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, at the May 16th, 2022 meeting, GMB was directed to move forward with an assessment of street repair, working within the confines of the ARPA budget as well as the 2017 staff report that was completed by Steve Dyes, Public Works Director. Steve and Scott Getchell have gone out and rode the roads here in town and have come up with some recommendations as well as a map and a cost estimate on a number of tables, as well as with length miles, et cetera, and estimated costs. So, bottom line, everything that's proposed for all projects is $2,263,921. Obviously, $800,000 doesn't cover that, but it's an incentive to move forward with funding from other sources to complete the project. So you've got the options laid out there, table A, table B. That's as proposed. There's also the option for some in-house repairs. I know Steve can speak to what a piece of equipment would do to be able to give the town the ability to maintain and upgrade some of our own roads at relative low cost. So there we are. Scott Getchell couldn't be with us tonight. He does send his regrets, but he's available for any questions should there be any. Again, this is not submitted for action. This is submitted for discussion. But Steve was there as well, so Steve can answer any of the particular questions about the process.
My one question, Steve, just looking at this, they're suggesting Green Ridge all the way down from University to Main. And I just take note of the fact that he put in here about connecting the firehouse to Main Street. Was that a deciding factor, do you know, in picking that? Because the fire trucks don't use that road.
No.
I mean, it's bad enough to constitute being done first with all the bad roads we have in town.
Yeah, that one of the main reasons that he and we came up with Green Ridge, because it fit inside the number, the budget number,
mm-hmm.
and it did a contiguous street. And then, like, if there was money left, there's only one block left on Maple that wasn't done in the last grant project
right.
for that.
Yeah.
So you don't have, like, well, we did one block but not the other block. Now, the expensive part about Green Ridge is the middle block does not have curb and gutter, which he's proposing to put in as the project is paved. The top and the bottom have curb and gutter, mm-hmm. so doing all three blocks adds a lot more because of the curb and gutter. Brooklyn was on the original schedule. Brooklyn's main issue is the big cracks out there. I have proposed to purchase a backhoe and a small milling head for the front of the skid steer.
Okay, that's why I wasn't sure if when something was said. So we do not own the milling head as of right now.
We don't. That's
okay.
I'm proposing to purchase that to go in front of the skid steer, which what we would do is the cracks are, say, 4 inches wide.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it really rough. If I just fill those, they kind of come back. If I take that milling head and do 3 feet, a foot on each side of that crack, and then pave it, it is going to take the crack away. If the crack comes back, it's going to be very narrow because I've got an inch and a half of pavement
right.
kind of built up. That's my plan for Brooklyn instead of having it just paved. I can fix those cracks and those patches if we get this milling head. And so, again, there is a proposal out there that Larry and some people will bring up to purchase those, and that will help us, again, not just on Brooklyn, but on other issues too. I think the other road that Morris was originally on it, it does have the 300 block is bad on Morris. I mean, I know the whole road has issues, but Green Ridge is the worst of the ones as far as there's not much left of the pavement, especially in the 200 block. There's lots of patches in it that don't make it easy. Again, for me to go in there and cut patches out, the whole road is nothing but alligator. So if I cut a 6x6, it never stops. It just keeps falling out as I'm, and I end up doing a section that's 10 foot. So I think the original thought of Green Ridge was because we could do the whole street.
Okay.
Again, there are recommendations, not necessarily. You guys have the say in where we put the money and what we do.
But this 800, or the cost estimates here, does not include the curb and all. we
yeah,
would.
Yeah.
Oh, it does include that.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
On Green Ridge, it does.
Yes, that's what.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Now, in Brooklyn, there's one piece of concrete that needs to be replaced. So that's, you know, there's that's again, I can make that whole loop look change. If I fix that one piece of concrete just sticking up and fix those cracks, it will be greatly, you know, exponentially better. Again, that will not happen, you know, like overnight, but it's something that,
right.
You know, it's relatively easy to do, but you have to have the equipment to do it.
I mean, I like that option for Brooklyn. Just because I feel like that road isn't that horrible until you get to each of those sections. But in between those sections, I hate to waste money to repave something that really isn't that bad,
right.
That it can be rehabilitated
in
those sections.
It can also be fixed.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's one of the problems with patches that we do is that if the patch sinks, it sinks about a half an inch. You can't put blacktop a half an inch over because it'll wet off.
Right.
So if you take that patch and you mill it out an inch and a half, then I can put an inch and a half on it and it'll stay. So I can fix the pumps, I can fix low spots, but right now, just throwing a half inch of blacktop on it doesn't
right.
fix it. Might look good for 6 months, but it's all going to peel off.
Right.
How much is that piece?
What was it?
30 grand? About ballpark?
No, it was 19, I think.
Okay.
19,000 for the milling head, and 80,000 for the backup. And that was out of ARPA money.
Right, the backhoe we've already accounted for.
Right.
Well, this piece, when we originally talked about it, it was going to be a backhoe and a mini excavator.
Right.
Well, the mini, the price is gone, like, and I don't think we can justify that
right.
at this point. So what we ended up talking about was we were going to buy some attachments for skid steer instead, and we would still be, we would end up being under 100 instead of 140, and get what we needed.
Yeah.
Right.
But I have a used one right now that the guy has demoed here, but he needs us to either buy it or give him some kind of letter of intent
right.
that we're going to buy it to leave it here so he doesn't have to move it, and then it might not be there because I can't find it. Even a new one's going to take me into December before I can even get it if I pay for it now. And a used one, we've been looking for a used one for 6 months. This is the nicest one we found.
My only question with all this, and I think doing Green Ridge like that all the way through is a good idea, is the top of Post Office Hill, something needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
We have to find money somewhere and all this money to get that fixed.
Yeah Park Lane.
Yes,
agree.
Park Lane is along there is
yes.
awful. So.
Yeah.
And that's one of those streets that, you know, they did half of it and
right.
not the other half.
Because that's just... It's terrible.
It is.
And in
that conversation, that's probably bringing something up in the middle of it. We need to address the post office, I think, of bringing a tractor trailer down that road. Wouldn't we be better off having them come down Main Street and turn as opposed to coming through that residential
that's
right there?
That's the way they're supposed to come. Right?
I see them in
town
all the time.
If they turn down University and come down Morris, they've broken... It says no trucks.
But
and it says local deliveries.
That's a local delivery.
That's not really what that's meant.
Right.
It's not meant for...
Well, maybe that should be a phone call to... I don't know who the local contract carrier is for the mail out of here.
Is it Prettyman?
It used to be the guys in Cambridge, and then they got bought out, and
not
I don't
TNT.
Know...
TNT. Was it TNT?
That's who's on the back of TNT.
Yeah.
Because I see them trucks all the time coming in town, so... I was just thinking, you know... If we're going to fix that, then we need to stop the truck traffic coming down that road, too.
Yeah,
so.
They come in and go out that road.
So I was looking back. Our ARPA allotment was 850 for roads. Now, we were going to do 140 for capital equipment, but we're under... 100 now.
79 and some change for the backhoe and 30.
80 and 20.
So right out of 100.
So we're right out of 100.
I ballparked it at 100. And again, this is cost estimate as far as
sure
today.
Understood.
We're kind of already running out of paving season. I think as far as the middle of November, and then the asphalt plants start to close, so we have to pick it up again in the spring.
And it closes around December 19th.
Okay.
My point being, and I'm very quickly trying to braid money. If we had 850 in roads, and this is 816, okay, plus. Let me make sure I did my math right.
Plus the 40
40 that we're not using on capital.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to find a way to do number one, but throw Park Lane into it. That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to.
But do we still have that spare since we gave 50 to the community center?
Hard to say. I think we do. We're just going to have to be a little bit tighter on the other expenditures because we saved some money on the AMI water meters.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if we're supposed to be fully funded with our highway user funds, any additional funding there has to be spent on roads anyway.
Right.
So that's less that we have to spend on ARPA. And this is good to move forward over a couple of years. People want to see something done.
No, yeah.
But to do everything that GMB laid out here is probably a 3 or 4 year program anyway.
So it looks like if we take the 40 from capital, and we take the 850, that's the budget. We're $34,000 shy of being able to throw Park Lane into option. So if we're confident there's 34,000, because I kind of, look, I mean, I'm being a little selfish. It is the road I take every time I come down to this building. You know what I mean? It's a well-traveled road. I don't think Scott tried to put these in rank order. I'm not trying to say that, but it's certainly not second to last.
Correct.
I mean, I would think somewhere we could find $34,000 in ARPA be able to move it up.
I would
and
like
these
to
prices
see
are
I know
our estimates
I know,
anyway.
I know.
They could come in way higher, come in lower. So we really don't.
But for
I've never trusted engineering numbers because
I know.
They float.
But at least for the preliminary plan to put
out
to say this is what we're planning to do. Yeah. This is what $850,000 looks like.
Right.
Or $875,000.
I mean, I also think if you look at some of the projects related to, like, engineering fees, I mean, you're going to have the engineering fees on putting together the bids and doing the evaluation, but it's not going to be a project whereas, like, an MDE or USDA where you have to have the inspector on site full time. So those fees really should be much less than they're projected in this, I would hope.
Well, and there's contingency built into each one.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's only 10%, but it's something.
It adds up.
Right,
you know.
It does add up.
So, but to be able to tell people, yeah, your roads, our roads, everybody knows, are in need of repair, and this is what $875,000 looks like, and here's the plan for...
Well, the fact that we even have...
Because
that is the number one complaint
yes.
from residents.
And the
yes.
big thing is, we can do this... and not sit the town back to a 25-year payment of paying off.
Exactly,
correct.
Another giant bond.
Yes.
Yes, agreed.
Steve, we ain't got to worry about that. We're going to be gone before then.
I'll be gone.
I'm sorry.
I'll be gone.
But it also allows us to do, by my quick math, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then you add that little bit on there. About 1.1 miles. We end up
isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
People don't understand that, though.
But the
no,
whole list is 1.5 miles.
Right.
And allows us to do 1.1.
Right.
I mean, that's
right.
something. So. It's that last half mile, though, that's a little expensive.
It always is.
But it's also right around the corner.
It
so
is.
When the contractor
it is.
Bids, it's
it
not
is.
Like he has to mobilize twice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or move
that's what I'm thinking. If we can say this is the package deal that we're turning over to you, we'd like pricing on this
out.
Suite of roads.
Yeah, do it.
What can you do for this suite of roads and start with that? And so we wouldn't need to go out for bid for that, right? And then see what comes in for this. But we need this preliminary report to be able to put it out for bid.
Correct.
What needs to be done to
you
it.
You can ask them to bid on the whole correct. The whole
yes, package. The whole lot.
Yes, and piece and say, okay, here's what this section, what we can do. You know, they don't need to know we have $850,000.
Right.
You know, they're going to come in and whatever, and each section has its own price. So it may come back that you can do more than you thought or...
Based on the pricing.
That's a good point.
Well, we probably should get that pricing sooner rather than later.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was nice to see, I will say, just to editorialize, but it was nice to see DMV working with Public Works, bringing forth a plan, like,
right.
You know, one of the first things we did was that engineering services bid, and so to see it sort of, for the first time, what it looks like, what the product looks like.
In action, yeah.
This was nice to be able to understand.
So we have... on the 30th, on just to piggyback on top of the roads and the road report, we have the meeting with State Highway on June 30th. And I had a preliminary meeting with Chief and Town Manager DeRee about what it looks like for what the state highways are here in town and how things flow. So if you look at the map of town, if you pull up an actual state highway map, they have, like, odd state highway numbers, like, in town limits, which means they definitely should have been taking care of that. There's some stuff that doesn't have, it's not, like, dark or highlighted, but it's, like, weird, like, 315 is here or 318 is over here, but then it picks up way over here and there's nothing connecting, like, there's nothing in between that says this should be 318. So we basically took a map and came up with what we were going to ask the state highway to do, and the top three asks are 306 needs to be extended all the way to University through town. Now, 306 is Liberty Road. No, Houston Branch coming into right East Central. Is that what that one was? There is... Yes, 306 is that one. 306 comes in, goes past Chambers Park. And it goes down, and we're going to ask them to run it all the way up to University. And then 318 was wonky because it picked up, and it's partially here and partially there. So we want stuff renumbered. And then they have 577, which was Reliance, but then they also have it. It says we have 577, which they have on their state highway map is 577, which stops at the light. It should be run through an extended... all the way through here, and they should pave this and be responsible for 577 should run all the way up to 306, which they just kind of stop it. So there's a couple of roads to stop it partially into town, and then they don't go all the way through. So hopefully that meeting will come out of them taking care of at least some of the roads, which will take some stuff off of our...
And that's on the 30th.
Docket, yes.
The milling thing... For someone that does not understand the road, but when we have to fix like a water main break on a state highway, we have to fix it to state highway
standard.
Will that machine help with that process too? Like sometimes?
Yes.
Okay.
The problem with some of the state highway stuff is that where our mains are,
right,
we're on the edge, and everything's jagged, and it'll save us. We clean those edges up and make it easier.
Gotcha.
Make it easier to blend in. Okay. You don't have
the hump.
The
right.
Hump.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just looked at that price. It's $13,900. Not $19,000. It's
$13,900. Oh, even better.
There's another $6,000.
Keeps getting better.
So now we only got to find...
Look again. Maybe it'll go down some more.
Back then was $79,750, and the mill head was $13,980-something.
I like that option. Okay, do we have anything else on the roads? Okay, next we have discussion of public works function, staffing, and levels of service.
Hey, Madam Mayor, members of the council, the public works function is frequently a topic of discussion. As you know, all the oversight of all town departments. Council. It's a good opportunity to do a baseline review of both level of service as well as some measures of expectation. And what you've got by way of attachment to this is as far as talking, documents to talk around are the current job descriptions for the public works and public utilities staff, which should serve as a general overview of what their expected functions and skill sets are. So it's worthwhile to put the job descriptions within the context of the staff obligations and then to move forward from there with a discussion with the department head about what some levels of service expectations might be, as well as some discussion about at least staffing levels and skill sets. Not individuals, but roles and functions.
So did you get copies back of what they completed?
Not yet. I
okay.
was hoping to get everything Friday. They've been a little bit slammed.
No, I know.
With a number of things.
I didn't even get mine until today because I was off most of last week. So.
Okay, so, I mean, we have what the current jobs are. It would be nice to see what they do and don't do in these.
Correct.
Yeah. And I definitely think that we can probably look at some levels or tiers as far as skill sets that we're looking to have. And when you actually advertise for a position, you post specific said skill sets as opposed to, you know, a more generic, especially with the AMI project coming up. You guys, what are your thoughts on?
Yeah, I agree. I think without really knowing what they're currently doing, it's hard to sort of blend the two, the description and the actual job requirements.
My question was, what is our current staffing level? So, like, who, not who, but I know we're at talking, but like, how many maintenance worker ones do we have? How many maintenance worker twos do we have? How many?
That's a very good question, and that actually became one of the difficulties in assigning, in distributing the job descriptions,
okay.
Because there's an overlap of function. Staffing levels, people step up and do what has to be done.
There's also more job titles there than there are people.
Correct. Yes.
Yes.
So,
but when somebody's hired, are they hired as?
Yeah. Now those numbers, based on the descriptions that's there, and I know they all did their added to what they do, but once they, and I think they filled out the correct, whether it was maintenance worker one or maintenance worker two. So I think if they filled out the correct one, as soon as that comes back in, we'll know what our staffing level is in each of those categories. I will make sure that they get that done in the next few days, and we give that back to Larry, and then he can make copies for you.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful to try to consolidate and go through.
Yeah, I've got. There's 10, right? There's 10 job titles.
Yeah, there's 6 employees. No.
Right.
Yeah,
6.
So just trying to figure out
who fell on what.
Well, so I was like, obviously we don't have all of these. So what do we have? You know. Mm-hmm. So.
And I think, like Kristen just mentioned, that I think the two of the two maintenance employees are maintenance three, you said. And then I guess summer would be wastewater two. Was there a third one?
There's wastewater supervisor, there's wastewater operator, there's water supervisor, and then there's water/wastewater operator.
So he would end up in the two of those categories, that's
right.
Wastewater operator and water operator.
So when you get us the copy, can you get us each of the staff members and what their official title is, just so we know kind of what category it is that they fall in versus the job description we have versus the job that they're actually doing.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not sure when they were hired, they were actually given a title.
That's what I was going to ask.
I think it was just hired.
They were just hired.
Works or,
right.
You know, this is what you did.
Okay. Do they have titles now, though? I mean, is that
no.
sort of... No. Okay.
No. We need to kind of put them in a category that we think...
Right.
We know they do now, we kind of gave them the one that best suited them
right.
and asked them to add to or take away. I don't think they'll take away, but...
I'm sure there is because these are pretty generic, and it would be nice to have a lot more. Like I know at ours at work, there's like bulleted items. Like it's not just like a giant paragraph or examples. Like it generally is your like group one, group two, group three.
I saw one that had a page on the back of one that, and you're not going to list all those, but Larry and Christy can kind of summarize that, you know, which of those goes in which category.
Right.
And change it to add some stuff to it, but calling out each item is, you know, if you put it in paper for an ad, it would be a whole page.
Yeah. No, there's generalities you can use, and then there's some specifics. But some of the specifics may go more with what does X and Y look like, right? Like cutting grass at the marina looks like X. These are the tasks that are done. So in your job description, you are cutting grass, but in our standard operating procedures, cutting grass at the marina is this. Here's your directive. This is what it's supposed to look like when you're done. So off topic, speaking of the marina, do we have the soccer net?
It's not coming yet. I'm just going to go to Dick's and see if I can just buy one and cancel the order. Because I ordered it from,
I could probably go on Amazon right now and order one and have it here today.
Dick's probably has one. I can just go get one. Whatever standard.
Soccer goal size.
but it is not here.
Okay, I'm just walking the dogs in. I'm like, oh, where is that thing? It's got to be in by now. Okay.
I'm
going
to look right now.
24 by 8 by 5.
Did you Google that?
Absolutely.
Got a lot of GTS.
I am the supervisor of athletics.
I
can figure this stuff out.
There you go.
You should have just known it.
I don't know what I'm on about. I never coached soccer. Can't tell you that one.
Okay, so for these, we're going to get back from what the staff says that they do. We'll work up what we have, what the staff says that they do, and try to get an idea of who falls in which category, at least, for an idea of what we need to start working with. Okay.
We also might want to really work on required and desired skills.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
We're a different organization than we were at the time that these job descriptions came from, or wherever they came from, and however old they might be.
I would definitely agree with that. I think that definitely needs mm-hmm. to occur. And I know when we go out to hire, so the next time that we do go to hire somebody, there's a skill set that you can put out that you're looking for specific skill sets. And it might be that to get some of the skill sets, we might have to bump them up a couple of dollars. And it might be that they have levels and give them incentives to get them training. Right? If they go get this training or this certification, then they get, you know, a dollar or two or whatever more based on the certifications that are earned.
And that's going to be an organizational culture adjustment. The newest hire doesn't have to be the lowest paid employee. If the newest hire comes in with a better skill set, and it's the recruiters that bring a different skill set.
Right.
So,
be here Thursday.
Thursday? Thank you. Excellent.
I got to cancel the other one.
Did you get it on Amazon?
No.
Oh.
Amazon. It was from, I'm trying to think of the company the school orders from. Because I got the number from the athletic director in Easton when I was there, and I ordered it. And of course, I can't remember the name of the company. It's a big, it's one of the, it's like one of the big equipment outfitters that deal directly with schools. I can't remember the name of it, but I can take care of getting that.
Okay. Thank you. All right, so do we have anything else on the staffing and levels of service? Okay, next we have mayor and council action items. Councilman Windsor?
Nothing at this time.
Enjoy your vacation.
Yes.
Yes, enjoy your vacation. Hope you have good weather.
So far, so good.
Good. Knock on wood. All right, Councilwoman Sewell?
As you know, Councilman Willoughby and Mayor Abner and I attended MML last week, and it was a great time. We had a lot of opportunity to network with other municipalities and their leaders and sat through a lot of interesting sessions. Some of the highlighted ones for me were the hiker-biker trails and the making of the most of social media. We sat through a police reform one, which I had hoped we could get some more information from, but they don't know what they're doing, so they really don't have anything to pass along. MML held their elections while we were there, and Mayor John Carroll from Galena is the president-elect for MML next year, so it's nice to have somebody from the shore who works well with our leaders here. We also have LaJohn Cephas from Cambridge, who is one of the commissioners, and she's a member at large. Vice President for District 1 is Todd Knock from Pocomoke City. He's a council member down there, and he is also our ESAM president. And his goal for this year is to sort of rejuvenate ESAM and really grow the involvement of our local governments. While we were at MML, Mayor Abner and I had an opportunity to introduce ourselves to gubernatorial candidate Kelly Schultz, and she set up a visit for us to come by the very next day. That was sort of unexpected, but really a very enjoyable afternoon. Right after that, we rolled right into the prayer breakfast, which... kudos to Mayor Abner for putting together an excellent morning. We had Tulpa County Sheriff's Officer, DFC John Coleman, and our chief spoke. They both did excellent jobs, and I think everybody was very touched and was very happy to see it back. The Federalsburg Ministerial Association did a great job in supplying sundry speakers and different participants. And then as far as MML things, the fall conference is October 9th to 11th, and next summer's MML conference is June 25th through 28th. So I think that's
back to its normal time.
I'm sorry?
Back to its normal time.
Mm-hmm. So what is that? And I did have, I hate to bring it up, but did the splash pad actually get up and running?
No. I'll tell you, tomorrow, it'll be inspected tomorrow.
Okay.
Yay, thank you. I saw a bunch of water on it, but I walked the dog Sunday.
The county inspector will be here Sunday. I mean, you said Sunday, it's pretty good. Tomorrow at 1.
Perfect.
To do the inspection. We got all the piping fixed last week and or Friday and put the building back on top of it.
Awesome.
Nice.
Did you end up having to have, did the pool people help?
He did.
Great.
And I haven't gotten a bill or anything from him yet.
Okay.
But he did. He replaced the above ground piping and then we put the pumps back together and got everything
great
going. So.
Wonderful. Thank you for, I know you guys have to work really hard on getting that going, but I know it's.
Glad you asked that.
No,
I
mean,
to
I'm glad you were here for that, but the community have been asking, so, you know, it's nice to have something good to tell them. That was all I had.
Sandwich sale?
Oh, yes. Well, I was thinking the sandwich sale, the what we consider the spring sandwich sale, or this is still spring for Lions. Our last sandwich sale will be on Friday, and then we will take a break until the early fall. And what is it, for Lions Club.
Except we cut grass at Chambers Park.
We did.
We had our cleanup day.
We did. 4 hours.
Yes, four hours of cutting grass and cleaning up, so that was good. Anything else?
No.
Thank you. Councilman Phillips?
Since you're here, spraying weeds. We're going to get to that sometime.
Yeah, we spray.
Or have we? Because, like, Park Lane, which is always the worst because it's that gravel, whatever, on the sides.
Yeah. But, yeah,
it looks terrible.
We had trouble getting weed killer. I usually order it on Amazon, but they don't have the McKay's anymore. Or they don't have it available. So I've been getting it at the hardware store. It's Marshy Hope Hardware. It's a little more expensive, but you only get 5 gallons at a time, so I'm using it. Yeah. So I haven't been able to get it.
Okay.
So I have we're on gallon number 10 now. So we are spraying. It's just been
okay.
You know, and the worst always for me is up here on Morris Avenue, the 300 block, right when you go past the stop sign. Up here, they're weeds grow. Again, if that was my house, they're getting weeded off. But for some reason, that guy will not weed them off, but whack them off with his when he cuts the grass. So we have to end up spraying it, and it's already this tall. So we'll get out again this week.
I guess just be careful on Holt Street so you don't spray the man's corn.
Right.
It's growing in a curve.
Yeah.
It will be sprayed.
That's not, it's in the...
The verge.
That 1 foot area there?
It's pretty weird that it's growing there.
But, other things since you're here, and I know y'all just gonna love me for even saying this, but can we talk about the trash, whatever, from last week? Because.
Debacle?
That can't happen.
Yes.
I meant, we just signed a year contract worth $200,000 and he can't make a phone call. Something needs to. We either decide that ain't going to work, or we got to do something. Because if that happens again, that's just terrible.
Larry called him. I called him. Larry emailed him.
How do you not?
Well,
I don't care how sick you are. You are running a business, and he needs to understand that. If he doesn't understand that, then we need to scrap this deal right now.
Correct. There is a level. We need to set the level of expectations. When this happens, when X happens, Y needs to happen, right? X happened. You were sick. I get it. People end up in the hospital. Whatever. But your second, third, fourth in command, it should have rolled downhill until somebody got a hold of us to said, "Look, this is what's going on. This is what we're trying to do to rectify the situation." But ghosting us doesn't help the matter.
Nothing. I was like shocked.
Is there any provision that we can, backbill him for the town having to pick up trash for however many hours? I mean, because he failed to deliver on his contract.
Well, we're gonna, half day's worth of work.
Right.
Whatever it was, 400 cans?
We right.
We checked that out. He didn't collect, they did not collect 1,200 cans.
Right.
This past week.
So can we deduct that from what he gets paid? Or are we allowed to?
I think he's aware of that.
Okay.
I think he's aware of that. I think Larry made that clear to him because he talked to him eventually.
Yes.
Yeah. So and then when
multiple
I talked to
times.
Him, I think he was clear on that we had picked up the whole east side of town. And
I thank you for that. I thank you guys for scrambling to pick that up.
I mean, it's I just don't get that we could not get a hold of him at all.
Agreed.
That's the part I find most frustrating is the fact you're entering in business, you've got, obviously you have more than one employee. Somebody should have picked up a phone and said, hey. But, and then, August meeting, I wanted to see if we could move. I will not be in town that whole first week of August. I'm taking my daughter to Georgia and South Carolina to tour colleges. I thought we were going to leave Tuesday. We're evidently leaving Monday.
The bus is leaving?
That's just unacceptable.
I know. So I did not know if there was a date. I will be gone that whole week, so I would have to do it the next week, or if that's not possible, then it's not. But
I'm good on the 8th.
I'm good on the 8th.
Yeah, me too. I can do that.
Well, so do we want to do the, not to cause extra confusion, but do we want to do the 8th and the 22nd? Because if not, then you're the 8th and then the 15th. But unless you guys want to keep them the 8th and the 15th, it's fine. And just have a week between meetings?
I think just keep it.
Leave it so that we'll move.
We always seem to have enough talk about.
So we'll do the 8th and the 15th?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I can't believe we're discussing August calendar.
I know. Except it'll be here before you know.
I know.
Yeah, I think that was all I had.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Probably not. It'll spring up.
Something else will come up.
Give me time.
Councilman Willoughby?
Echoing what Councilwoman Sewell said about MML, it was nice to go and be around folk. So that was fun. I took a lot of the introductory courses.
You took the not fun courses.
In some cases, less than stimulating, but they're done. So that was great. And ladies, I can't hang with you, and I'm sorry, but I am officially an old man.
I see as you move your bracelet. I saw that. I'm
just gonna throw it out there. I do want to echo what Scott said about you guys pinch hitting last week. Thank you for that. It is a frustrating situation, and I hope that we can get to the bottom of it or move on, or whatever the case is. I will say, just because you're here, the concession stand down at Chambers Park, the stuff that's inside of it, is that our property, or is that?
No, it belongs to.
Okay.
Senior league and.
Okay.
And
softball program.
Okay. And just, I was driving past last night and I saw water pouring out of the window.
Yeah.
So I texted Eric Smith and he went and turned the water off because the water filter had gone up.
Oh.
And I drove by there yesterday a couple times and that was the only time I noticed it. So I have no clue how long it was running.
Yeah, they called. They must have called me right after they called. Who did you call?
I texted Eric Smith.
Who's that?
What's that? What's the Grady?
Okay. Yeah. Is he on the board or something?
I believe he is. Isn't
yeah.
He's with the football team.
Because I didn't know you got in, because I don't have a key yet.
They were having practice there.
Oh.
And it was about 5:45. I knew you were out of town. Okay. Like, you know, so I was like, let me see if somebody that's involved in baseball has a key. That was my thought. And he said, I'm going right up there now. So, you know, but anyway. So that's not our deal. So that's all good. But that's all I got.
Thank you. So I'll piggyback on the Chambers Park thing. So there was some more vandalism done to the two buildings that the football groups use. There was a posting on Facebook about the damage, and when I was watering plants on Saturday, I ran into Officer Taylor and asked if somebody had officially filed a police report, and he said no. So he went up with me, and I called Jeff Fraze and Bruce Hancock to come up and meet me up there to file an official police report, because it's kind of hard to tell what's vandalism and what's just dilapidated, right? So I wasn't sure which was what, so I didn't want somebody documenting something that really was not the actual vandalism. They were getting us copies of the original pictures. Bruce had gone up and fixed a bunch of the stuff that had been done. They are trying to get in. They peeled off the back mesh. They were trying to get in through one of the vents on the concession stand. And then they tried to pry one of the hinges off. And then on where they have their equipment, they tried to peel the metal back, the metal sheeting off the door back. They broke two pieces of wood. They popped the padlock on the gates where they keep their mower. But I won't say what's wrong with the mower. It's that somebody doesn't like listen and be like, oh, now I know how to get out. I know how to take it. So Officer Taylor was going to work on documenting all of that. And then I know Chief McDermott is working on some grant money for some extra security cameras, which I think are really needed up there in Chambers Park.
They've caught kids on the roof. If somebody falls through or something happens up there, I mean, it's still our property, even though they use it. We need to just definitely have the security cameras and have a better eye. And he was going to ask, there's two brand new lights that are over top of those buildings that are fairly bright. But they were going to up the police patrol. They probably just drive through Kinder Lane. I don't know that they actually pull into where the football parking area is, right? So they probably should, when they're doing their patrols, pull in that back lot just to make sure that they can see in between those buildings.
For the last couple of days, they've been sitting there running radar.
Oh, good.
So they have been
great.
Parking right by the buildings.
Perfect.
Running radar.
So I think hopefully that'll help, and we'll be able to get those security cameras up there.
How many lights did they take down? 30 or 40 lights when they put down Marble Fire?
Yeah.
And we have those street lights, the ones that they had put up that were wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And they took them down. We have them.
Mm. Can we utilize those up there?
We would have to pay, you know, I would to install them.
Okay.
Yeah, we have the lights. Remember, because we talked about putting lights on that street.
Right.
On that Chambers, what was it?
The Kinder's Lane, or Kinder, the one that runs
Kinder
through.
Street.
Yeah, Kinder Street.
They're putting light, because there's no lights
correct
on the actual street there. We could put one there by the, we'd have to run the electric.
Right, right, right.
But again, I think utilizing some of these lights that we have will save some money to do it, but it'll light that area up.
So we should probably, Chambers Park is going to require a whole master plan, but Delegate Grist has asked us for a list of priorities. I know we've all been contributing to a spreadsheet for the list of priorities, but I think we need a comprehensive plan for what we want to do at Marina Park and what we want to do at Chambers Park. Just so when somebody says, oh, what do you need done? Well, here's $400,000 worth of improvements for Chambers Park. And some of it is the security lighting, some of it's the cameras, some of it's the concession stand is dilapidated. The football would like some irrigation. I mean, football's the only group that we truly have here in town that's still homegrown. Everybody else has gone to Preston, so it would be nice to, you know, if we could turn that into something that's useful, then maybe we might either get more back or make better use of it. So I think that's something that could just be part of a comprehensive plan that the Parks and Rec team can work on.
To the wish list.
There you go. Thank you. Because we might as well, if we can have some idea of where we would like them laid out, might as well roll that in, that cost.
Got it.
Thank you. I wanted to thank everybody for coming to the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast. It was a great event. Thank you guys for your work. I appreciate it. I think it went really well. People were really happy with it. They were excited to have it back. The church ladies, but there was two men involved. They were there at 4 o'clock, starting cooking. So it was really good. They did a great job. Deputy Coleman, his voice is fantastic. And you know, Chief is a great speaker. So it was a great morning all the way around. Councilwoman Sewell and Councilman Willoughby talked about, MML was really good. I thought we got a lot out of it, except for the Police Accountability Board, which the senator who was part of writing the bill, they really couldn't give us any answers. It was basically a ask questions, and we asked questions, and they're like, well, we haven't worked that out yet. But yeah, you're putting it into law July 1st. So I didn't get a lot of warm and fuzzies from that session, but everything else I thought was good. Bicentennial update, we have the 10/15 kickoff is in progress. We're working on an event to put it on Eventbrite and a Facebook post. We've set the price. We're working on some final information from the caterer, so we will get that posted. Our shirts, the lady shirts came in. Men's shirts have not come in yet. So as soon as the men's shirts come in, you'll get your shirts. And Killer Bees is working on T-shirts for us. We got T-shirts also for public work staff and for the police department. They were supposed to send me the mock-up. I didn't get that yet. They had some issues last week, so I should be getting that. As you know, gubernatorial candidate Kelly Schultz came by for a chat about what her administration could do, the challenges that small towns face. Today I got a call from Dan Cox's campaign. They would like to stop by, and it's like, well, what are you looking for? And they're like, well, we want to meet with your chief and your town leadership just to see how we can help. And I was like, well, okay, when are you coming by the shore? And they're like, oh, you guys are really important, so we'll come by. Just give us a couple dates. So I'll see what everybody's calendars look like, and we can offer them a date or two to come by and have a chat and meet us. And I think that was... you guys should have been on the ESAM email that we did. None of us were on there, so I have asked Todd to add us, including you, on there, because luckily Mayor Carroll saw that none of us were on there, and I ended up with a position with ESAM, and I still wasn't on that email. So hopefully we'll be in the queue. I think with Todd and knowing that we want to be involved, that will help keep us in the loop of what they're doing. So they really are trying to move that into a different, where it's a little more, I guess, responsive and has some input into what's going on in Annapolis. I think that's all I have. Nobody has anything else, then we'll take a motion to go into executive session for legal advice and personnel.
Motion to go into executive session for legal advice and personnel matter.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Stop down there.